Guardians just keep on rolling. We'll talk about it here coming up. Obviously, training camp is officially underway. Got lots of Browns to get to as well. It's a Thursday here on The Fan. Spencer German. And for the first time, I'm really excited about this. I get to work with Danny Cunningham.
You should be
here
thrilled.
At the station. We've done some other stuff together outside of here, but to actually work together here, I'm excited about it.
Me too. I'm very excited for today.
Are you somebody, by the way, I don't know, like, your general, like, you know, sleep schedule, like how you hit. I'm somebody who, like, I'm usually up late and then, you know, I wouldn't say I sleep in, but like I'm not burning the midnight oil like Ken and Lima to get here when they get here in the morning. So when I work this shift like multiple times in a week, like I'm exhausted at this point in the week.
Well, I mean, I do think it's a little bit different for you because you have a child and I don't. Like, I think that is something that definitely impacts your sleep schedule.
And we're doing potty training right now, which is just like a complete disaster.
I'm not doing that at all. I know how to use the bathroom pretty well. So I am somebody that, like, on my normal sleep schedule, I'm up late, which I think comes with the territory of covering the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, during basketball season, if the Cavs play that night, you can just count on me being up until 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, that is what that's what my life entails at this point. So during the summer, I try and make that not the case, but I was so exhausted after yesterday. One, I went home after doing the show with Daryl and I took a nap because I was just like, I could not stay awake any longer. I fell asleep at like 11 o'clock in the morning, slept for 2.5 hours. And then I was in bed at 9:45 last night.
Oh, that sounds like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I wish that was the case.
Exhausted. I was so tired last night.
I like pretty much every night that I've been before I've been in here, I've run on like 4 hours of sleep. Like I still was like up late finishing things, working on things. And part of that, like you said, is because I have a kid at home where it's like, what I would normally do is like, I eat dinner and then, okay, I have a couple hours here. I can get some stuff done. But that time after dinner is spent like getting my son ready for bed, making sure he stays in bed, and then I can finally start those things. So it's always just a process. It's like an extra step that's kind of thrown into but my biggest thing, like my wife, we were sitting at dinner the other night and she was like, I was telling her when I work the morning show, I get to like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, I feel like my day should just be over. And I still have like another like 5 hours worth of things that I have to do. And she was like, yeah, you could never do this show. And I was like, well, I would have to change the way I go about my schedule for sure. She was like, yeah, no kidding, because you're usually up till like you said, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning working on stuff or whatever. And I just, it's a whole new world for me. I'm here, but if somebody had been here, Mitch is the only person who's been here every day with me, he's probably noticed that like Monday I was here at like 5:25, ready to go. And then Tuesday I was here at like 5:35. And then today I was here at like 5:45. So there's no telling what time I'll be here tomorrow.
Well, let's just hope you're here right before six. Let's just hope that you are here before 6 tomorrow. I think we'll take that as a win, considering the direction that's trending. Like, I got in it at 5:35 and I left a little early so I could go get coffee this morning because I did feel as if that was a problem with my day yesterday, is that I did not go and get coffee prior to the show. So I did that this morning. It meant I got in a few minutes later. I'm like, man, I'm going to be the last one there. It was not the last one here today. That's all I'll say.
In my defense, I did have to get gas this morning and I kind of forgot about
that. Well,
that
changes everything.
Yeah. I did kind of forget about that until I like got on the highway and I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to do this on the way there. So that kind of threw a wrench into things too. 216-474-0092. It is an eventful Thursday here on The Fan because we finally have legitimate Browns content to talk about. No more of this just like predicting the quarterback competition and, you know, guessing who's going to start at certain positions. No, we are actually going to see it play out in real time. As of yesterday, that all gets started. And one of the big things to come out of yesterday, Danny, of course, was Myles Garrett's comments regarding expectations for the team. And listen, I go into every year expecting that, you know, what the Vegas number is and what people are saying about the team isn't, nobody showed up to training camp with the team they play for being like, hey, yeah, that Vegas win total, we're just going to try to beat that. Like, of course, everybody has higher expectations.
Right.
But what I think is interesting about Myles Garrett, we'll play you the clip here in just a second. What I think is interesting about Myles Garrett setting the expectations where he did is just the context of where he came from this offseason. Like, we all know what he said at Radio Row at the Super Bowl back in February. And I wonder if these comments ring hollow with most fans, especially given what Myles Garrett said about the team earlier this offseason. We'll play the clip here. Here's what Myles said yesterday in regards to expectations as he arrives at camp.
I expect to get to the Super Bowl. Well, that's our expectation every year. And I expect to run back the defensive player of the year. You know, keeping both of those things in mind, I have to be the very best player I can be every single day, whether we're practicing or playing. You know, as soon as I step foot in the building, I have to be the best version of myself and the best leader I can possibly.
Like, normally, Danny, I think if Myles Garrett showed up to camp and said that, I think it would be, I think Browns fans would eat it up in a way, because Browns fans are always looking for a reason to be optimistic.
Sure.
And so I think they'd eat it up where it's like, yeah, I love that Myles is saying this. Why can't this be our year? But I think coming from him, the context of everything that played out this offseason, I just wonder if people hear these comments in Cleveland and they just kind of roll their eyes and they're like, okay, Myles, sure.
So I look at it as the tale of two different statements with inside one statement. Because the defensive player of the year stuff that he said, like, I think that's fine and true. And like, that should be his personal expectation. And I think as a fan base, we should expect Myles Garrett to be involved in those discussions, whether or not he wins the award again at the end of the season or not. Like, he is somebody that should find himself on that sort of ballot. He should be in that conversation. He is somebody that I think is the best defensive player in the game of football. So he should be in that conversation. As far as the Super Bowl stuff goes, I think that he's in a tough spot there. And I don't look at what he did this winter. Like, I don't necessarily care about that at this point, because he's here and all indications seem to be like he is where his feet are, right? Like, he's in the present right now, and that's fine. While it is delusional to think that the Browns could be in the Super Bowl this year, that is not happening. There's not a path to that, considering their win total out in Vegas, as you mentioned, is set at 4.5 games, and I might take the under there. But what's Myles supposed to say? Oh, no, our goal is to win 6 games. Like, what are you supposed to say in that setting? Maybe it is, you know, we want to exceed some of the outside expectations. Maybe you say that. But you're not going to say, you know, internally, we want to win 6 games. That's not what you're ever going to say. Yeah. As somebody that is the best player on the team, the face of a franchise, the team captain, even if we can have a long discussion about his leadership role, but you're never going to say, we're just happy to be here, right? That's not how professional sports work. Every team, whether it's the Browns this year or the New York Jets, who are probably going to stink too. Like, I bet Justin Fields is doing whatever media availability he's doing right now and is going to say, yeah, our goal is to get to the Super Bowl this year. 32 teams in the NFL have the same goal. For most of them, it's not attainable. The Browns, it's not attainable this year. Maybe it will be in the future, but right now that's not an attainable goal. But it is still one that I do feel as if Myles Garrett has to say, even if everybody there, because I believe you were there when he said it.
Yes.
Everybody there knows, okay, this is not happening. Like, that's not a realistic goal. But what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you mentioned every team has the same goal. I know Mitch, when we were texting about the Myles comments yesterday, he threw out that, like, Omar Khan, Mark Andrews, Aaron Glenn, Patrick Surtain, like, there's a long list of people. Basically, the first day of training camp is basically just like, everybody's winning the Super Bowl day, because everybody was ready to sit there and tell you, hey, we, you know, our goal is the Super Bowl. We think we can get there. And you're right. And here's the thing, like, working in this space, you and I especially, like, we are in locker rooms with players on a pretty regular basis, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Cavs, whatever. Like, we know, like, we get a better insight into, like, where these guys' heads are at with things. And you're right. You can understand where Myles is in an impossible situation where he's showing up to camp. He can't come in and just be like, yeah, as long as we get to 6 wins because Vegas thinks we're only going to win 4.5, 5.5, we're good. It's not that I don't think he shouldn't say these things. I just wonder if, like, this felt like a moment for me where in previous years people would rally around this because it's Myles and he's one of the faces of the franchise and all this. And this year I just wonder if it kind of rings more hollow because of everything that transpired. I think there's going to be constant reminders with Myles of like, yeah, I didn't forget what you said about this team, you know, not so long ago. And I ultimately, the main thing fans are going to care about with him is like, if you're out there on Sundays and you're getting sacks and you're in the conversation for defensive player of the year and you're, you know, in the conversation for the sack title, we're good. Like, we can wrap our heads around, like, the paid gun thing, which everyone's a paid gun of sports anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I just think, like, comments like, I think Miles has kind of lost the leverage to say something like this, and it actually, like, resonate with the fans in a meaningful way, I guess.
Well, I don't think it resonates with the fans in a meaningful way because I don't think our fans are dumb. I think our fans kind of see what this year is going to be about. The reason you could say this last year, and I understand what happened last year and the fact that they go 3-14 and how bad they were.
Yeah.
But the reason why Myles Garrett could say that last year and not be laughed out of the room saying it, and I don't know whether or not he actually said it, but just stick with me here, is because they went to the playoffs the year before, right? And the reason he could say it the year before that was because, well, they were coming off of a disappointing season, but the bones were there for a playoff caliber team, right? And you would have expected Deshaun Watson not being suspended that year going to look like the Deshaun Watson the Browns thought they traded for. The reason they said that after going to the playoffs, because, oh, well, we just went to the playoffs and won a playoff game. Of course, the next step is to have Super Bowl aspirations. Where this year, the Browns are coming off of a bad season, and they didn't do anything this offseason to make you feel as if they meaningfully improved. Like, they made this offseason a gigantic trade in trading out of number two and trading away essentially Travis Hunter to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a move that is not going to make them better whatsoever this year. That was a move that's going to make them better maybe in 2026, maybe in 2027. They didn't do things this offseason to try and make themselves winners this year. And I don't think that's been true of any of the other offseasons in the Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry era. This is the first time where they had an offseason that's like, okay, well, our eyes are not really on 2025. And that's why I think when you hear these words about, you know, the Super Bowl paired with the win total being at 4.5, it just rings hollow. I don't think it has, for me, anything to do with how Myles Garrett operated this offseason. I think it has so much more to do with how the Browns as an organization operated this offseason.
216-474-92. Does Myles Garrett saying that the expectation is Super Bowl, does it mean anything to you? Does it ring a little more hollow because of the fact that not so many months ago, he was sitting there saying that this team was no good anyway, and kind of leading you into understanding where this team was at regard, like, going into this season? Or does it get you a little jazzed up? Because I know Browns fans at this time of year are looking for any reason to be optimistic. And I do think this also kind of plays into, I talked with Daryl earlier in the week, Danny, about this idea that, and I don't know, this could probably be disproven to a degree in terms of, like, how much people are engaged with our content and with the station and with the Browns right now. But, like, understanding where the team is at and what the expectations are people less interested in camp and the Browns right now than they were even a year ago? And I think there's reasons maybe why they are, and there's maybe reasons why they aren't. Some of that has to do with, obviously, the quarterback competition.